time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for August 14th. Holidays today, real quick, it's Chinese Valentine's Day. I don't know what's the difference. National Creamsicle Day. National Garage Sale Day. And that's it. Birthdays today, former WWF champion and former guest of the show, Bob Backlund, 72. Bobby Eaton, who passed away last week, would have been 63 today. Nature Boy Buddy Landell, who would have turned 60, died in a car accident back in 2015. And former WWE champion and current superstar Kofi Kingston is 40. And current WWE NXT superstar Johnny Gargano is 34 today. The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. Join us September 25th for UFC 266 at Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. Come out and join us. Prelims start at 8 p.m. Pay-per-view starts at 10. And as always, no cover charge. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Want to be an officiator? Be a non-skating official? Being a skating official, Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. And join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Welcome to the show today. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man. I'm joined by, on the phone with us, D.C. Dan Cole. Good morning, D.C.
Good morning, Cash Man and rest of the crew.
Yeah, we're also joined by Furby in his major podcast hat. Good morning, hey. Furbs.
Good morning, everybody.
What's that shirt say? Let's wiggle it.
Yeah, it's a New Day shirt.
Okay. Folks, if you want to see the shirt, you got to go on Facebook Live, Pain Clinic Facebook Live right now, and we're streaming. You can see the Let's Wiggle It with a very interesting tank top there. We're also joined by Rob Sanderson, the artiste. What's up, Rob? How are you doing today?
Good morning. Doing well. Good wrestling this week. Good wrestling last night. Some more tonight. So
yeah,
it's a good week.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff we want to talk about. We might as well jump on it immediately. Let's talk about Rampage. The debut of Rampage last night on TNT. Rampage, very first show. You can only have a first once a lot of times. A lot of people say that. And that's what we got last night. Three matches in an hour. We start off. What'd you guys think of, I mean, besides the glowing eyes, because that's all really stuck out at me in those promos, is everyone had like these electrical eyes and stuff. But what'd you guys think of the show in general for an hour long wrestling show? We'll start with you, DC. How'd you feel about it?
I liked it a lot. In contrast to some of the other programs on there that I feel could be too long and go on too much. That one-hour program, especially with the lineup they had last night and what they were able to do with that 1 hour, I thought that was a pretty good pace setter for the future of that program. You know, you got established that you could have big-time matches. You got established that title changes can happen. So you've established that anything can happen. So, it gives you that continued incentive to watch, not to mention the rumors for what could be happening with next week's program.
Oh, yeah, the best in the world. What'd you think, Ferbs? I mean, we got Christian Cage winning the Impact title. Finally, somebody takes it off of Kenny Omega.
I mean, I thought it was fantastic. To me, I mean, I would have described it as an amazing snack. You know, a one-hour express, just, you know, match, three bangers. I mean, Cage taking the title off Omega. It sets up, I mean, him versus Brian Myers at Emergence, you know, this next Saturday or next Friday, August 20th. So that's going to be an interesting match. You know, kind of some history behind it. Christian, former tag team partner with Edge, you know, Brian Myers, formerly known as Curt Hawkins, was an Edge head. So there's some history there. So it's going to be a fun one.
But you, Mr. Artiste?
I thought, for the most part, it was perfect. You know, I was a big fan when TNA had the one-hour show in the past. Sometimes less is more. I know some people were so happy with the show that I saw comments online like, oh, Rampage has got to be 2 hours. No, this is great. 1 hour, quick fix, in and out, and it was everything delivered. If I want to nitpick, which I don't really want to because I thought the show pretty much was perfect, but the very ending with Jamie Hayter and that stuff, I don't know if that was the best way for it to end necessarily for that show, but started out with a great match. I think people have now seen a reason to come around more to this Omega Christian little feud going on, and now there's more anticipation for the All Out match. I think the women's match was good. Red Velvet has shown that she's improved a lot in the past year. Still a little ways to go, but she's a lot better than she was a year ago, to say the least. And for me personally, as great as that opening match was, the Fuego del Sol moment with Sammy was just awesome. Big fan of Fuego, big fan of Sammy, and I think the way that was done perfectly. Tony Khan came out last night and said that was a total shoot. Fuego didn't know that was happening. Only Sammy and Tony knew, and I just thought that was so cool.
Yeah, he was crying. He was obviously crying. I mean, that was pretty wild.
Yeah.
Who was Jamie Hayter? Have I ever seen her before?
She was on a couple of the early episodes of Dynamite. British wrestler, works two-time Rev Pro champ over in Great Britain. Also worked Stardom in Japan. And he said she had a couple matches early on Dynamite, but she didn't really look the same back then. She looks quite a bit different now. Obviously, a lot of people last night were watching like, is that Becky Lynch? No, it's not Becky Lynch. Sorry. I just felt like it was one of those things where like nobody's really going to recognize who that is without like the commentator saying. So the crowd itself was like, what's going on? Even though Jamie Hayter had wrestled Britt Baker in Pittsburgh the last time Dynamite was there, which was like, I don't know, episode 4 or something.
Sure.
So it's been a while, but I don't know. Still good, great night for Britt. Crowd was hot. Love the show.
Yeah. That's the thing too, is I don't think you're going to get three matches every week, to be honest with you. And definitely not championships every week, at least, you know. I mean, we've got to feel honored. It's just really weird that they're defending the very first match ever on this show. They're defending the Impact Heavyweight title, you know. And it's to me, I was very, very happy for Christian Cage. It was a good match. Kenny Omega was selling like a champ in that match. He definitely made everything look great. He did not get the one winged angel in, so he didn't have to worry about him kicking out of it or anything. I thought it was, you know, that was an exciting match, but I don't know if we're going to get like championship matches every week. And think about it, it's only an hour. Maybe you can get one or two matches in. It's just that they actually really shoehorned all three of those in there. They each gave them like 20 minutes, it seemed like. What'd you think, Ferbs?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think for it being the first Rampage, they kind of wanted to stack the deck. I mean, and it makes sense. You got to go big, especially for the first one. So I don't fault them for that. But I just wanted to make one more comment towards the ending. I go about the whole Jamie Hayter run-in. I think the only reason that works is because of the previous match between Hayter and Britt back in Pittsburgh. Otherwise, I think there was no sense to really have it. I got choked up with Fuego. I mean, I watched him on the Sammy vlog, so seeing the past story on that was like, oh, okay, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Fuego is somebody who, obviously, you know, from the South. Saw him quite a bit in Texas. He works Corpus Christi a lot on the Indies now. But the first time I saw him was the first Wrestle Circus show that I had called. I didn't know who he was. And went up, and I was like, you know, what's your name? Getting some notes and stuff. Fuego de Sol, Fuego del Sol, whatever. I'm like, okay. Like, talking to him. Super nice kid. And then he went out and just...
I was gonna say, are you old enough to be in this wrestling ring? Because I swear to God, he looks like he's a 12-year-old.
No, but he certainly was a younger guy, and I think he's improved so much in the last, you know, two and a half years since then, whatever. But that was quite a 6-man match with Peter Avalon, Lance Archer, Colin Delaney, Will Alday, some others. But I just like it's great to see somebody who's worked so hard get that, and I just the way they did it with a surprise moment was just so cool, and it really shows like the big reason why Fuego is so over with that crowd and all of these crowds is what Furby mentioned, that Sammy vlog. And it proves how WWE didn't want people doing all these extra vlogs and all this stuff. And when you look at AEW, the reason why so much of this stuff is over is Sammy Guevara's blog. It's Being the Elite, Ethan Page's vlog. All of this stuff is so big for them, creating extra content through the week, people getting to know these wrestlers behind the scenes and all this stuff, and see their personalities that can't come through on a 1 or 2 hour program. And it makes me think a lot of like WWE's like, no third party stuff. That's how these guys are getting over. So
and that's how these guys are that's how they're becoming crowd favorites. Like, Fuego's worked his tail off for that company, coming in since all doing all the dark stuff, all the behind, like, I mean, well deserved. You know, he's going to be actually at Excite Wrestling September 12th. He'll be here. Evil Uno is going to be here. So check him out.
Okay, hold on a second. 222-1280, star 1280's number. We've got Mike from Rochester on the line with us. Mike, what's up, buddy?
How are you guys doing today, man?
I think we all got enough sleep in after watching the first Rampage. What did you think of the first Rampage?
I've a little bit of hit and miss, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I like the production of the show. The fans were great. And obviously, for once, they let the hometown person win. That's a refreshing thing that AEW does,
company. This is not the WWE, man. The WWE, she would have lost terribly, you know?
No. She would have lost in 3 minutes and then been beaten up afterwards. Yeah, no question. But the thing that I will, not say complain, but I will criticize about the show is I didn't like the fact that they had Kenny Omega lose. To me, you've been building up him as a world champion for the whole year, and now that's been diminished. Because I know it wasn't the AEW world title that he lost, but the fact is he was pinned on national television. So to me, you diminished him as a world champion. And you got Punk coming in, you got eventually Bryan Danielson coming in, you've been building up Adam Page and Omega's feud for a year. And if either one of those guys ends up taking the title from him, it's not going to mean as much because we just saw Kenny Omega lose on national TV. To me, that was a mistake, in my opinion.
Wait a second, Mike.
See both sides of that.
Yeah, but let me mention one thing. They've got a pay-per-view match in, another week and a half, 2 weeks?
Yeah, September 5th.
Yeah, they've got a pay-per-view match where it's going to be for the AEW title. Doesn't this build more interest into that match? I think it does, without a doubt.
Absolutely. In my opinion, it doesn't, because I've already seen the match. So maybe the pay-per-view match will be better because they'll bring out the more stops. But to me, a pay-per-view match should be on pay-per-view, especially when it's the main event. To give it away on free TV and have the babyface win, now there's no point in wanting to see the rematch. The babyface already triumphed. To me, that's a mistake.
It was
in my
weird
opinion.
That they were multiple times on the show saying that, you know, this isn't the big one. AEW is the big one, and that's coming up at All Out. And they were kind of diminishing Impact a little bit with that stuff. I will say you can see either side of it, because Kenny's going to lose the belts in some order. Whether he loses the AEW one first or last, I think it makes more sense for him to lose it last. I think there's a good chance he loses the AAA Mega title tonight in Mexico City. But in terms of that, I think it builds more intrigue. Like you see that you want a little bit more from these guys. And the fact I loved the finish of the match. I really liked the way the chair came into play. It got reversed on him. He basically had to take some of his own medicine for trying to cheat. And that didn't make Kenny look terrible. If you take the unpretty or whatever you want to call it into the chair, you can get pinned from that. And it doesn't mean that you look weak. So I'm going to disagree on that. I think like it makes more sense for him to lose the other belts before the AEW belt. And I just thought it was a good way to kind of start that, where maybe I'm curious to see where this goes. He could turn into desperate Kenny Omega, who loses a title last night, maybe loses a title tonight. Everything's falling apart. So I would say wait and see how this goes, but I like it.
I don't think it's bad at all, because he didn't look weak in it, so it's not like it really diminished anything that Omega did.
No, he didn't
I'm going to agree with some of that too, because you know I've kind of always been vocal in one of the things I hate in wrestling is undefeated streaks. I think they're pointless. I think they just don't add to anything. I think seeing him lose that match and, you know, kind of exposing a chink in the armor. But not only that, I'd much rather have a paranoid, worried, crazed Kenny Omega than this complacent belt collector, just nonchalant Kenny Omega we've had. So I think it could add a dynamic to his character, and I'd much rather see that than him not take a loss for a while.
I want to make one point. I think that Kenny Omega has been very successful in what he was trying to do, and that was trying to raise him up into people's eyes more than, you know, just being Kenny Omega, who not everybody, I mean, for the first year of AEW, Kenny Omega was kind of an afterthought. You know, I don't think he wasn't really, he's still the great unknown to a lot of people. Now he's got that established character. Now he can lose all the belts for all I care. You know, it's like, but I think he's succeeded in what he wanted to do, which is to make him be more prominent in the company and, you know, given a higher spot. And I think that's where he is now. Mike, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that I understand your guys' thoughts and you, some of your points I take, but to me, ultimately, he still got pinned. And it's not only that he got pinned, but he got pinned by Christian, an ex-WWE guy. If you're going to do that, to me, let a Sammy Guevara, let a Jungle Boy, let a Darby Allin beat him, because then it elevates one of your homegrown talents. To me, Christian didn't need
the Impact belt. That's what I get what you're saying on that, but I also want to say that, like, I think for a while we were nervous as to who is Kenny going to lose that belt to. And quite honestly, this makes him look stronger in my mind than if he lost it to, I don't know, Moose or somebody else who doesn't have the same kind of name value. That also means that this didn't do as much maybe for Impact in terms of building their stars in the end. But I think it does make Omega look a little stronger to lose to a former multiple world champion like that.
Hey, and Mike, we got to run to break. Thank you so much for calling, buddy.
Absolutely, guys.
All right.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, you too. And on that note, the new TNA Impact champion, we'll go out with his music into this break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Today at 12:45 on Rochester's sports station, Fox Sports 1280.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I was trying to play a little Billy Joel to get back into the show because I'm going to go see Billy Joel tonight, hopefully at the what's the New Market Stadium. Is that what they call it in Buffalo now?
High Market.
Yeah.
I don't remember the actual full name. It's like 100 words long, but yeah. Highmark Stadium.
Yeah,
The Ralph,
the new era, whatever field. And by the way, Ferb, if you're watching on Facebook Live, you see Ferb's hat. You got the Major Brothers hat. We need some swag, man. We need to get some new swag for this show. You know,
let's make a pro wrestling tee store.
I want to get a hat, you know, like that. I want to get, you know, and then that's, you know, I want, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just being jealous, but it's pretty cool. It's a major podcast hat. You know, of course, Ferb's, in, you know, on the Pain Clinic's wearing someone else's product. So, thank you. And I'm not going to give you too much grief. I'm kidding. Stop it. I like the Let's Wiggle It shirt, though. You guys got to definitely tune into the Facebook page. But we've got a lot of things to talk about. I wanted to mention one thing about Christian Cage. And we mentioned it a minute ago. He is a prior Impact World Champion, multiple time champion. So, and he is going to be showing up on Impact this Thursday night, which I thought, you know, and actually, if you saw Impact last week, they used direct clips of stuff from AEW to start their show. So I thought I was watching AEW for a second when I saw Kenny Omega and Don Callis in the ring with, Tony Schiavone or somebody they were in the ring with. And it's like, wait a second, what am I watching? But that is either this is the big end to this connection or this is going to throw it in even deeper. Because it's like there's word going around that we're not going to see Omega and Callis again on Impact Wrestling. And we know Callis had lost his position as a board of director for a couple months ago. So he was just being a character. So maybe we'll see. We'll have Callis and Omega now on just on AEW from now on. But any thoughts on Christian winning that title and really what does that mean for him? You know, I mean, he obviously signed an AEW contract and does have history with Impact. I wonder how long he'll hold that. Maybe he'll be the one to transfer it to the next guy in Impact.
That's my thought. I'm curious because, I mean, if he just takes the title to basically be the transition to potentially Brian Myers on Friday at Emergence, one, I'd be excited because I'd be really happy for Brian Myers. But two, I think he'd have to lose it in a way. And I know that they said Kenny's not going to be on the tapings, but I'd like to see maybe a Kenny cost Christian the title to build more towards All Out for the AEW championship. I don't know whether that'll happen or even if it's possible, but I feel like that can build towards the feud. But I do think there's good chance that Christian could lose potentially at Emergence.
I feel like that's going to be too soon in terms of, I don't know, like killing Christian a little bit, but I mean, I see where you're going with that. I think it's cool because technically when Christian had the belt back in the day, it was the NWA belt. So now he's a former NWA champion, world heavyweight champion, TNA. He's got the TNA belt now, plus the Impact belt, all this stuff. So I think it's cool for him. I think it's good for Impact. Like I said, the downside for Impact is that this didn't help build one of their stars, like if Omega had dropped it to Sami Callihan or somebody else. But I wanted to just quickly say, too, as good as that match was last night, the opening match from Dynamite, also involving Kenny Omega, the 3-on-3 match, I thought was one of the best matches in Dynamite history. Was very impressed with not just Dante Martin, but the Seidel brothers, too, in that match against the Elite. I thought that was a fast-paced but crisp, awesome trios match.
Yeah, yeah.
It was probably my favorite match of the whole week.
I was going to say, I think that was Mike Seidel's best performance, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, and Kenny, once again, Kenny was selling like crazy in that match, too. I mean, he definitely, that was an exciting match. So the cool thing about Christian winning, too, is the last time we actually had him on the show was right after he had originally won the NWA TNA title at the time. And at the time, Edge was champion, too. And I remember asking him, it's like, you know, you guys, you know, we're the penultimate tag team in WWE for so long, and now both you guys are champs of your respective companies. And I thought that was, you know, and that's all, like, you know, and that, and he you know, he kind of like thought about that and gave us a really great answer. I got to go find that someplace, but I just remember that's the last time we had him on, and I was just really, really happy for him. And he can still do it, obviously. I mean, I think you see him, he's been on wrestling every week the last couple of weeks, and he's out there, he's doing better than he's ever done, actually, I think, you know. So enjoying,
yeah, he's looked really good in these. The fact that he in AEW has been able to have longer matches than we've seen for a lot of his singles career. A lot of his WWE matches were not, you know, 20-minute debuts on Dynamite, stuff like that. So he's looking really good. Very impressed with that. And on the Omega point as well, I think it shows his versatility as well, because there are a lot of Omega haters out there. Hi, Jim Cornette. but like, the fact that he can have that super fast-paced, crazy match on Wednesday, and then last night a much more, I don't know, traditional style match, if you will, maybe a little bit more of a WWE style match with a good ending. And then I'm intrigued to see what happens now in terms of, you know, again, what's going to happen with Kenny Omega and Andrade tonight, because when the match was made for AAA, Andrade was not a part of the AEW roster. Now he is, and can that transition over to AEW, or is AEW not even going to really mention it if Omega wins or Andrade wins. I don't know.
There is a lot of wrestling going on this weekend, man. That's because the New Japan Pro Wrestling Resurgence is going on tonight. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I do want to mention that Kenny Omega wrestled a 12-year-old girl. Okay, I'm just going to throw that out there. And if you can find the video online, he did. And he also wrestled a blow-up doll. So, but he's been a little bit more serious now since he's been with AEW. And on that note, we're going to go to break, come back. I want to talk about Keith Lee. There's big news that came out from him this week. But also, Ring of Honor punishes the state of Florida. How? We'll find out in just a minute. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Before we get back into it, I just want to send out a congratulations to Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, are expecting their first child. They announced it this past week. Birth is sometime due in February. Of course, they were married in September of 2016, but congratulations to those two kids, silly kids. We also want to send out our condolences to the family of Dominic DiNucci. He passed away at 89 this past week. 30 years as a wrestler with the WWWF in Japan and Australia, trainer of people like Mick Foley, Shane Douglas, and Moondog Spot. He passed away Thursday at the age of 89, and I remember seeing Dominic DiNucci wrestle many, many times in Rochester against Baron Cicluna and a bunch of other guys, you know, old school guys. But, yeah, we sent our best out to his family. And let's talk a little bit now. We've been talking about what's going on with Keith Lee. And, still the big question mark finally was answered this past week. Why we haven't seen him from the month of February until, 2 weeks ago. And it came out that Keith Lee he had a positive COVID-19 test, ended up having some heart issues after dealing with that. Kept him out of the ring for a while. He's back now, though. He actually gave it to his girl, Mia Yim. And that's why she was out and missed the Royal Rumble. We knew it may have been something like that. They never really came clean. No one ever really came through with WWE and said what it was. But kind of everyone suspected when someone disappears for that length that maybe they're having some issues with the COVID-19. I guess he was pretty close to having, he has an inflammation of his heart. And he has some heart disease issues. And he was in pretty bad shape for a while. But I'm glad he's back. Hate seeing him lose the first time he comes back, but it's good to finally get the answer to what happened to Keith Lee, because he was on a rocket ride to the top and then just disappeared altogether. DC, any thoughts?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's nice to finally have the answers as opposed to all the speculation going around. I can understand maybe wanting privacy during that time and, respecting what he had going on, but now that it's out there, hopefully he can move forward and hopefully see him move his way back up.
What do you think, Ferbs?
Yeah, first of all, glad that he's doing better now. Wish him the best. Obviously, he's one of my favorites in current day wrestling right now. So it was sad to hear that. Glad that he's doing okay. Glad that he, finally found the time to actually kind of want to open up about it. So thank you for that. But, good to see him back. And again, just like DC said, hope we can see him get back to the rise of the top.
As much as I don't want to see anybody get COVID-19, I didn't want it to be like some backstage politics were the reason, Definitely. What about you, Ra? What'd you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's definitely a great talent, and more than anything, just happy that him as a human is doing better. I'm not going to go on the big tangent, but this is another example of like everybody. It's like, oh, well, 99.99% of people are fine after what. This was a big deal, and he almost died. There can be long-term effects. There could be things that last 6 months. There could be things that last for the rest of somebody's life. And more than anything, just happy that he's doing better. That was scary to have. So
yeah, I agree. And on a similar note, because talking about coronavirus, the resurgence of it happening in Florida and Texas, but particularly Florida, is the reason behind Ring of Honor moving their Death by Dishonor pay-per-view. That's going to be Sunday, September 12th. at the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. But they were supposed to be in Lakeland, Florida, in the RP Funding Center. But due to the COVID surge in the state, Ring of Honor decided not to send all their people there and decided to, you know, have it in Philadelphia. Now, I think that's, you know, it's kind of very short notice, sort of, but not really, I guess, unless you're coming from outside the country or something. But I think it's really very proactive of Ring of Honor, and congrats to them, you know. But when you have 40% of the positive tests happening every day in two states, Florida and Texas, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you don't want to have your big events there. And Ring of Honor, you know, decide to move it, you know, which is not a problem whatsoever. And I'm happy for them. Ring of Honor, you know, it's funny, these guys can keep doing it. They lose everybody on their roster, and they're still finding people that are great to put on TV every week. And of course, Dalton Castle.
And ROH has got enough of a following that they'll have no issue in Philly. I mean, they got a good fan base, you know, in that area. So, you know, this is the second time Lakeland has lost a show from ROH because, you know, obviously the first one, it was during the height of the pandemic, but, you know, now. So props to ROH for making a smart decision, and, you know, can't wait to see them back on the show.
Hopefully we see them back up here sometime soon too. I mean, I would love to.
Yeah, I mean, we lost a show in May of 2020 from ROH in New Japan. I think it was supposed to be a combo show.
Yeah. So one thing I did,
it's a sign that hopefully we don't have more of this happening in terms of, like, I think it, you know, was a necessary decision, but it's a sign that there could be more of this. We could be going in that wrong direction with everything, with the numbers and everything, and so I hope that that's not the case. Hopefully things get more under control, but obviously there's a bunch of wrestling shows coming up, so there's some nervousness about that. And some of my thoughts I would give to the live event managers of these wrestling companies, whether it's ROH or WWE or Raphael Morphy with AEW, like some of these people who have to deal with arranging stuff with arenas and all of these restrictions, and you know that all of these companies right now are spending a lot of time that hopefully will be pointless in the end, but a lot of contingency plans and stuff like that in case things have to come off the rope again. Yeah. So
speaking of a week
away from SummerSlam too.
Yeah, I was gonna say a week from today we're gonna see a masked stadium. We're gonna see. I mean, they're gonna be wearing masks at SummerSlam. They're gonna have to. I don't think anyone's thrilled about that. I know the WWE is definitely not thrilled about that. But yeah, we're gonna, you know, and you know, hopefully, you know, we start swinging up towards better things. I do want to mention one thing before we break, that when there's don't forget AEW Dynamite's going to be in Rochester September 29th.
I purposely didn't say that because I didn't want to jinx it.
Well, I know. I don't want to jinx it.
Was alluding to it there, yes.
Yeah, but yeah, I will say that also debuting that night on TNT will be following the show as the new Roads to the Top reality show featuring Cody Rhodes and Brandi Rhodes. So I'm guessing we're going to get both of them here in town as well, even though we didn't see Cody at all last night on Rampage. But, you know, but he will be, I'm guessing he'll be here in Rochester because it's debuting that night and they got to do some sort of, connection with the show, you know, being on immediately after at 10. So, but that's pretty cool. Don't forget to, if you have those tickets bought, man, circle it on your calendar again, September 29th. We're going to have a great show in Rochester. I'm looking forward to it so much. And on that note, we're going to go to break. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, a little Roman Reigns music. You guys like starting to get into this Roman Reigns, John Cena thing that's happening? I mean, they keep starting shows with it, and we had a pretty good last night. They were pretty good taking shots at each other on the beginning of SmackDown there. I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah, that's coming up. That's going to be a big deal. I think it's funny. They're calling it the Summer of Cena. It's like, okay. And then I think he'll be done as soon as SummerSlam's done.
That open to the show yesterday was incredible.
Yeah, it was
probably, honestly, it might be one of my favorite things WWE's done this year. It was fantastic.
It's, you know, yeah, I like when they have, like, the two strong personalities. We got Josh on the phone with us. Josh, how are you doing today?
Hey, good. Yeah, Josh from Florida here. So, pretty excited about CM Punk probably going to be debuting here in Chicago. Just got a little fantasy book in here, something to kind of, rub a little bit of that dirt off him that he got picked up in UFC. I think a program, if they started right with him and Jericho, as the feud going forward, but starting out the first night in main eventing with the MMA guy they got there, his henchman.
Yeah, that what's his face from the Tamerica
Hager.
Hager.
Hager. Yeah, I think putting him over Hager the first night out of there, I think would get him off to a hot start. And just one thing Mark Twain said that really rings true there. A lie will make it halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on. So, I'm from Florida, and all that COVID spike, actually fake news, guys. You might want to update your news browser on that. They lumped 3 days into 2 days, which gave a fake spike. So Ring of Honor actually wasted a lot of resources. I feel bad for them.
I heard that too. I heard that they had like taken 3 days and put it into one, and because they weren't putting them out every day, I think. And it did bring the average up. You were correct there.
Yeah, and one more thing. Baldy rules, COVID cowards.
COVID cowards. Remember Baldy? He's the one who didn't.
Cash, real quick.
Yeah,
I kind of knew that guy was an idiot when he said the first thing he would do with CM Punk is associate him with MMA.
Yes, we haven't talked to Baldy in a long time. Ever since he got mad at us for playing Aleister Black's music, that demonic music. Remember?
Well, Cash, we are.
I certainly do not want to see CM Punk go right into something with ex-WWE guys.
No, in fact,
I don't care about that. I want him with Darby Allin. I want him with like the new crop, the AEW homegrown people.
Yeah, well, Darby Allin is the one who keeps bringing up they keep showing the clip of him saying, the greatest in the world, world's best. Best in the world. He's the one who's like, I think if him and Sting are going to keep doing this, I think that maybe there'll be an avenue in which to debut CM Punk.
And to tease things even further, CM Punk in an interview said mentioned something about Darby saying that Punk was, or saying best in the world, and Punk said, "Oh, that's Daniel Bryan, right?" So that's even more of a teaser about that.
Yeah, interesting. Without a doubt.
Tony said something about like, "Oh, I can't answer that question about that was about CM Punk, but it's a great question to ask." And I'm like, I kind of wish there was still a little bit more mystery to all this, but obviously the anticipation is huge.
I love that the people can call out of Florida. I thought that Florida was cut off from America. Okay, well, if you want to give us a call, 222-1280, start to, I'm just joking. I'm kidding. I don't want to get all the people in Florida mad at me, especially since I'm going to North Carolina this week, and they can come up and meet me halfway, But I do want to squeeze in some news that I got lots of news. We'll like this one. Former WWE NXT superstar Mercedes Martinez is set to challenge Impact Wrestling Knockout title in her first post-WWE booking. She's going up against champion Deanna Peraza in Rahway, New Jersey on Saturday, October 6th.
Rahway.
In fact, Rob, I know you were there because you sent pictures to me of that arena that they did. They had a pretty wild arena that they have there, right?
Well, WrestlePro, they're running somewhere else now because that was, I think you might be thinking of the Rexplex, which is no more. One of my favorite venues that they tore down that had like a whole indoor soccer field and arcade and basketball court and all sorts of stuff. Unfortunately, that is now an IKEA. An IKEA parking lot, maybe.
I will say that former WWE superstar Fandango he's going to be starting there as well. And there, his name is Dirty Dango.
Well, and Deanna could be a double champion after tonight, I believe, because she's in a champion versus champion match on the AAA show in Mexico City as well with Fabio Pache. So, I mean, Deanna could lose the Impact knockout title tonight. I don't think that's happening. But so she could be the next belt collector, I guess.
That sounds, you know, and believe me, if anybody's going to do it, let her give it to her. You know, I mean, I definitely don't have a problem with that. She's one of my favorites to watch. She is.
Yeah.
She's a lot of fun to watch in Impact Wrestling.
I was going to say, Deonna's probably the best thing on Impact Wrestling right now, in my opinion. She's just so much fun to watch.
Mentioning Impact, another piece of news came out that former two-time knockout champ, tag team champ, Kira Hogan has left and actually had a dark match with AEW ahead of Dynamite in Pittsburgh this week. Hogan took on Hikaru Shida, which you might remember. You haven't seen Shida on TV in a while, but Shida's still there. And about that, well, I think it's going to either Monday's Dark Elevation or Tuesday's Dark.
If I'm not mistaken, I think she might have had another one last night. I think they taped Elevation on Wednesday and Dark last night. And I think she had a match on both. So,
you know, it's weird because Kira Hogan was like just, you know, I mean, just on Impact like 2 weeks ago. You know, I mean, obviously her contract ran out and her partner now is getting, you know, is in another feud already with another group, which it looks like a lot of fun. Some other news. We talked about it last week. Max Caster was in trouble for what he did on Dark 2 weeks ago. Now he's apparently suspended for 2 months because of it. That's a hefty suspension, you know?
Well, there's a lot of conflicting reports, whether or not it's an actual – that part might not be true, but he wasn't there this week. And the interesting part is that Anthony Bowens worked a Dark Elevation, I think, match without the Acclaimed music. Having Caster disappear for a little bit, I don't know if it's 2 months, I don't know if it's unpaid, but certainly they're holding him back for a little bit, which I think a little bit is the right call on that. I don't think he needs to be fired or any of that stuff, but you definitely need to hold him back for a bit.
Well, Sammy got suspended for something. It was not even that bad, and you know, so I mean, it's, you know, this was something that, you know,
the difference in my mind, not necessarily what was better or worse or whatever, but Sammy's didn't happen in AEW's years ago. Max did this into an AEW microphone in front of a crowd.
And obviously the people who were doing production got in trouble for that too, because they should have edited it out.
One real quick note on that. We talked last week about how Tony Khan was going to take over the editing and all that stuff, but then Dark, I think it was this week, one of them, the order of the matches again made no sense. There was a Dark Order like trios match, and then they went to the back, and then another Dark Order trios match right after, back to back, where the continuity doesn't make sense. Like, who is editing these together?
Yeah,
those
final
matches
two
should not be back to back. You knew they were not taped back to back. Still problems with that.
Yeah, the final two matches on Dark Elevation this week, that's what happened. It was a little weird.
And there was like 17 matches, too, that they had on. So you guys...
Well, because, guys are walking to the back, like, kind of hurt from their matches, and then 2 seconds later, you see them walking out to accompany people to the ring. It's like, wait a minute, like, this doesn't make any sense. That wouldn't happen in real life.
No, and I've seen that happen, even on Dynamite before, too, where a guy will get beat up in a match and then be out a match and a half later to assist somebody. But some other news, King... Shinsuke Nakamura is now your new WWE Intercontinental Champion after last night, with a little help from Boogs, which, you know, I don't know why people get over because of that dude. I mean, Shinsuke beat Apollo Crews. Commander Aziz was involved in it, and now we've got King. We have now, the King is now our Intercontinental Champion. I think that's kind of fun. It's like, I like what they're doing with Shinsuke because he really is a prominent wrestler who's, finally getting some run as being a prominent wrestler. Other news, Becky Lynch has reportedly, and you know, you guys all want to know about Becky Lynch all the time. She's been reportedly been training for her WWE in-ring return as far back as May. Also at her husband's Seth Rollins training facility, the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. I believe that's in Iowa. Lynch and Rollins have been training together. One source said that they've seen Lynch. She looks right, ring ready based on drills, and she's done in front of other people. So we will see Becky Lynch back pretty quick. Dan Lambert, you remember me? He is part of America's Top Team. That's where I thought the caller was going. He's going to talk about Dan Lambert's and America Top Team showing up on AEW a couple weeks ago. Apparently, they're coming back. They're going to come back next week. They were supposed to be on this week, but now Tony Khan announced that they're going to be back, and they're going to be coming with two former UFC champions. So you definitely want to check that out. He's supposed to be he appeared on the Road Rager edition of Dynamite back in July, cut this big anti-AEW promo, and then was attacked by Lance Archer. So I think that we're going to see some more stuff getting mixed up, and maybe that's an avenue Punk could come too, because there is some MMA there, you know, and he does have, you know, these guys. And Dan Lambert has a lot of MMA experience because he's the founder of America's Top Team, but he also did a lot of stuff with Impact Wrestling there for a while too. So, you know, if you like that stuff, it's coming again next week on AEW. So let's see. Paul White apparently is going to be wrestling soon. I guess his ring debut is going to be very soon because of when he came out and defended Tony Schiavone this past week and his son in the ring. I don't know. What do you guys think of that? You want to see the Big Show get a match or two in while he's at AEW?
I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't necessarily want to see him full time, but every once in a while, special attraction match. I mean, a little bit of maybe a blow off deal like this with QT. I don't think it's a bad thing by any means. I mean, he's a name.
The only match I really want to see is him and Marco Stunt, just because Big Show's like Marco's hero, and I just want to see that happen. But yeah. Other than that, like you said, once in a while.
I think Marco Stunt could get caught in he could get lost in the Big Show someplace, and we might never see him again. You know, he get, you know, inside, like, you know, his armpit or something. Suddenly Marco Stunt disappeared, because that would be funny, though. I would like to see those two guys, you know, have a standoff in the match, you know, where I mean, Marco Stunt, I think, always looks like a 5-year-old kid. Can you imagine what he's like next to the Big Show?
Just want to make a quick note today.
Hold on a second, Ferb. What was that, Danny?
I think maybe AEW is where we finally get to see Big Show versus Shaq.
I think, well, they've talked about that before. Yeah. Ferb, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say one final note. Tonight at Average Joe's Hobby out in Livonia, 28 Main Street, from 4 to 10, they're having a birthday bash. And former WWE star Heath Slater will be there signing autographs for $25 combo photo autograph from 4 to 7. And then tomorrow at Heroes Hideout at Eastview Mall, Raven and RVD will be there at 12. Starting at 12, signing as
and
well.
The commercial bill will be in the mail for both you guys. Okay, I'm just letting you know that. All right, we're going to go to get out of here. We didn't get a chance. Melina's going to be showing up in Impact Wrestling this week, so check her out. Madison Rain appeared this past week, and we got to get out of here. We'll see you next week, folks. Go